From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. The high wind warning for Juneau has expired, but the National Weather Service says there will be strong wind gusts late tonight and early tomorrow morning. Meteorologist Caleb Cravens says peak wind gusts of 60 miles per hour blew down a tree near the airport and caused a power outage early this morning. Wind gusts also topped out at 52 miles per hour in the Mendenhall Valley and 45 at the downtown harbors. 2 inches of rain fell at the airport in 24 hours, while 3.6 inches fell in Douglas and 3.5 in downtown Juneau. A flood advisory is in effect for the Juneau area. Craven says water levels in Jordan Creek and Montana Creek are near minor flood stage and could cover a parking lot or a roadway. In other news, the City and Borough of Juneau announced this afternoon that it's offering free COVID-19 tests to people who may have been exposed but don't have symptoms. Testing appointments begin Thursday. These asymptomatic tests are for people who work with the public regularly or spent 10 minutes unmasked indoors with people outside their immediate household. You can sign up for a test through the city's website or through the city's COVID-19 screening hotline at 586-6000. The city says these tests will be available until December 13th, but may end earlier depending on demand. And many small businesses in Alaska rely on summer tourism to get through the winter, but after a season of canceled cruise ships and low visitation, retailers in the southeast Alaska town of Sitka are turning to holiday sales from local customers to help them make it through. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry checked in with some of those brick-and-mortar stores to see how they're faring.
Hello! It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Black Friday, and downtown Sitka is hopping. Masked shoppers dance awkwardly around each other inside small storefronts. They're taking advantage of the first of two city-sponsored tax-free days, meant to encourage residents to shop locally.
How's business been today?
It's been very busy.
It's definitely been busy.
We've had a decent traffic coming through.
I think it's been a really good response.
Much busier than I expected. We've been busy since we opened.
The business owners I talked to agree that it's a welcome rainstorm of shoppers after a months-long drought brought on by the pandemic. Sitka did get some tourism this summer from independent travelers and in-state visitors, but achingly absent were the 200,000-plus people projected to disembark from cruise ships ready to purchase souvenirs. For artist Elizabeth Faulkner and other members of the Island Artist Gallery, the summer is when they make the bulk of their income.
Probably 4 months out of the year, we don't make our rent, each individual artist. And then I would say that 4 months of the year, we make it with a little extra. And then 4 months of the year in the summer, we do, 6 to 8 times over.
This year, sales were down about 85%, Faulkner says. But so far, only one couple has left the cooperative because they couldn't make their rent. The gallery has adapted to survive by turning down the heat and relying on volunteers to run it instead of a paid staff member. The business also received CARES Act funds to set up a website for online sales. And like many local businesses, they're hoping Sitkins choose to shop local over the holidays instead of turning to big online retailers like Amazon.
Events like today are making it so that we can get our rent paid. And, then we're kind of looking into what 2021 is going to bring and feeling confident that we can creatively figure out ways to be here and support ourselves as artists.
A few businesses will close up shop when their leases are set to renew in January, says Rachel Roy, the executive director of the Sitka Chamber of Commerce. But for the most part, downtown businesses are hanging on by being adaptable and creative.
I know that many folks are really trying to put a strong effort into making those sales and being available to customers in all those different ways, a phone call or a delivery or an online sale, like all of those options so that they can sell the items that they have here on hand.
Business owners like Jill Scheid, who owns a quilting shop, say they've even had business coming in online from people out of state. Right now, her online sales are supporting her brick-and-mortar location, which is the opposite of normal.
The internet sales have been just crazy, because people all over the United States have been stuck home and they start, well, we were going to go to Alaska, let's see what's there, and quilt shops. And so I've had lots of really strong internet orders on my website.
She's also had a bump in sales from local crafters who are stuck at home and from people buying fabric for mask making. But it doesn't make up for the losses she's had this summer. She's hoping tourism will return next year in full force, but who knows?
I just don't want to live in a world where everything you buy has to be online. We don't want to lose our main street.
Roy says the chamber is working with the state and cruise ship industry to create protocols that could make a 2021 season possible. But much of that is out of their hands. They're also marketing to independent travelers and asking locals to keep their main street alive. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
A final federal rule designating critical habitats for some populations of humpback whales in the Pacific Ocean is due by January 15th. Joe Vicnicki reports.
In 2016, the National Marine Fisheries Service revised its listing for humpbacks under the Endangered Species Act, splitting the global population into 14 segments and determining that most, but not all of those, had recovered from near extinction. The federal agency at the time decided four of the population segments have not recovered enough and should still be listed as threatened or endangered. By law, that decision requires a designation of critical habitat, areas important to preservation of those populations with low numbers. Several environmental groups sued in March of 2018 to force that designation. NIMS settled the case with those groups, agreeing to a deadline of September of this year. Miyoko Sakashita is Ocean's program director for one of those groups, the Center for Biological Diversity.
Critical habitat can be really important for bringing back our humpback whales to their full, robust populations that they were, pre-whaling. And so, species with habitat protections are twice as likely as those without it to be in recovery, and we're really hoping to get the humpbacks back to that level.
NIMS issued a proposed rule last year to designate thousands of square miles off the coast of Alaska, Washington, Oregon, and California for populations of whales that range into the waters off Mexico, Central America, and the western North Pacific Ocean. And it identified some of the threats to these whale populations, including fishing gear entanglement off of Washington, Oregon, and California.
I think what we're looking for is really smart management. And, there are important steps that can be taken to address issues with whales getting entangled. And the other big threat to humpback whales are ship strike.
Sakashita notes whales are already a protected species under federal law, and she does not expect big changes for fisheries management with the habitat designation. Commercial and sport fishing interests don't agree and point to closures in federal fisheries off Alaska to protect other listed species like Steller sea lions. They're also concerned with impacts to state-managed fisheries for herring, one of the food for humpbacks. And they say the populations in question spend little time in southeast Alaska, while the whales that are here are thriving. The federal agency received thousands of comments, both for and against the rule. It also took testimony in six hearings from California to Alaska. One of those was in Petersburg last January. At that, southeast commercial fishermen across gear groups united against the habitat designation and asked for the region to be excluded from the rule. The habitat designation also drew opposition from Southeast Alaska municipalities, the oil and gas industry, the state of Alaska, and the Mexican government. The designation will force federal agencies to show any proposed actions do not affect or destroy critical habitat. In July, NIMS sought to push back the September deadline because of an extended comment period and the volume of comment, as well as the additional hearing and impacts from the health pandemic. Plaintiffs in the suit agreed, and the new deadline for the final rule is now January 15th. NIMS has already designated critical habitat for other whales in waters off Alaska, northern right whales in the North Pacific, and beluga whales in Cook Inlet. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
Alaska's election results became official yesterday. A state review board certified these results after reviewing the accuracy of the vote count. Some of the vote totals changed slightly. Candidates or voters have 5 days to ask for a recount in any race. And Alaska Congressman Don Young is back at work in his Washington office after becoming sick last month with COVID-19. His spokesman provided the update by email. This is KTOO News.